Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day here with the snow out coming down, and we've canceled the people coming here today, except Bob braved the roads to be here today, and all else are listening on Skype and on the telephone. So it's wonderful to commune with you all through these various techniques, to find the internet, the one where we commune through the heart and through the soul. Of course, it's even the more vastly superior way to connect with one another. Even as through the computer and the internet and the telephone, we send signals to each other, and through devices we're able to receive it, and they're transmitted to our senses. Inwardly, in the heart and in the mind and in the soul, there is a sensitive antenna array by which we might receive vibrations and the thoughts and the feelings of various individuals wherever they reside. And in the same manner, we're able to transmit. So we have within ourselves a transmitting station and a receiving station. The transmission goes out through the ajna. And it is there that thoughts and feelings and spiritual vibration emanate out. And in spirit, there is no time nor space. So we might be able to transmit to any time, any place, any person. And in the heart is the receiving station. And when we receive within the heart, we're able to feel the vibration and the thoughts and the feelings of people at great distances, even people of other times. And so, through this manner, in part, Master was able to interpret the scriptures, and Mother also was able to receive those original thought ideas that went out that created the scriptures. Through that receptivity, Mother and Master were able to understand the deepest nature of these wonderful, wonderful scriptures that we have. And of course, today we mark the day of the longest night of the year. And in that night, it is said, comes the conception of matter and spirit. And through the Divine Heavenly Father and the Divine Mother, they come together in union, and the Son is produced. Now the Heavenly Father is pure spirit without form, beginningless and endless. Divine Mother is all Mother Nature, all creation, all this vast universe that we see about us and more. Everything that has form, everything that has beginning and end, is all part of the Divine Mother, or Prakriti. And the Son, or the Kutastha Chaitanya, as in the language of the East of India, is the Son, and it is the pure spirit that is embedded within all nature. So while nature will always throw the mask of duality at us, for every high there is a low, for every hot there is a cold, for every up there is a down, and so on. It goes on and on and on in infinite variety. And if we are to look to God in that duality, we will not find the absolute. But when we turn the consciousness within, when we turn the mind within, and we make it indrawn, we make it indrawn particularly upon the ajna. And this is the doorway to God, the doorway to heaven. Now, when you learn to inwardly focus the mind, it creates a magnetism at this center, and this magnet begins to draw you. And you feel inwardly completely focused. Everything of the body and the senses begins to fade into the background and simply drops away. And then you enter into a divine union. You feel the vibration of light. You hear the vibration of Om. You perhaps see that light in the ajna. And as you let your attention rest upon that divine magnetism, and you allow yourself to be drawn through that star, you enter into those divine realms. I'm describing to you what I'm experiencing as I feel it, and as I see it, and as I hear it. And these things are true. When you get into them in the beginning, you wonder whether the experience you have is true because you're so accustomed to the five senses. But as you delve deeper and more profoundly into them, they become more real than the outer world that you exist in. And so you're drawn through that star. And this heralds the birth of the great Christ consciousness within you. And that is what we are celebrating, because as we turn toward the light from the darkest day of the year, and we turn toward the longest light of the year, it is a symbolic time, and it also carries great vibration with it, that Christ seed should be born within us and should travel the circuit and go all the way up the spine into the highest centers of consciousness. And when we really come to learn what this time of Christmas is all about, it takes on a very personal and profound meaning. And this is the way that it should be for all of us. I would like to read from the Cross and the Lotus Journal, this most recent December 2008 issue. From Mother's Talk, Christ is universally present. Truth is the only reality. It is the essence of all life. It is behind all the seeming appearances. It is your inner self, that glorious, shining, radiant self, which is God, the Spirit of God manifesting within you. It is a strange thing how the Orthodox faith limits the Christ whom they profess to worship with all of their heart. They take just a part of the teaching, a word here, a word there, and they try to make it into a whole. They have forgotten that He is equally present everywhere, in every atom of space, in every form which walks the earth, in every blade of grass, in the stars, in the sun and the moon. The whole life as we see it is an expression of the Christ consciousness. It is only when you dissociate your mind from this limited margin that has been put upon it and expanded into the consciousness of His infinite presence everywhere that you start to get the true impact and meaning of the universal consciousness. Isn't that wonderful? And Mother, of course, had that consciousness. She was born on Christmas Day, and so as we approach Christmas, we also mark the anniversary of her birth. She was born in 1904, December 25th. And she was born for a very specific mission in this world. The vast majority of souls come to this world because initially they had an interest in exploring this world and all the realms in it. And then eventually, so many of us got caught up in these realms. We became identified with this body. And through our own free will, we chose to focus upon the experiences of this body, and we closed the doors to this universal consciousness that Mother's talking about. We have been on a very long sojourn, a very long journey of exploration into this vast world of the senses and of the body. Many of us began in the most rudimentary forms of expression, through rock, through mineral, through mountain, through the earth itself. And then we chose to quicken, and we dropped off the layer of the mineral, and we came into the realm of vegetation. And we explored all the various realms of vegetation, perhaps not every expression, because there are so many, but all the ones we chose to do. And we became more alive, in a sense, but our lives also became more shortened compared to the mountain and compared to the rock. And then we dropped that sheath and we entered into the realm of the animal. Now we have movement in a way that we didn't have before. We have the senses. We're able to make choices to a greater degree. And finally, when we have explored the realm of the animal, we move into the human. Now, it's said that the human has unique features to it because it has the sixth and the seventh chakras. And it's able to open these, and it's able to experience its own divinity. And that is what makes the human not better than, but more expressive of the divine spirit. And so all of us have come into this realm, and it is said by Meher Baba that by the time that we get a human birth, we are 90% of the way there in our evolutionary path toward our godhood. And so we've come a long, long way, and then through our human journey, we've come through so many lifetimes. And you see, by the time we come into a human lifetime, we are very identified with this earthly realm. And in most instances, we have completely forgotten our divine origins. And yet there's something inside of us that yearns for more, that has some intuitive apprehension that there must be something beyond the realm of the body and the senses. Religions have inspired man to think of something beyond, but many people just think of heaven as an extension of this earthly consciousness, and when you die from here, you go to a very nice earthly existence. And yet there is so much more. There is so much more. There is this universal consciousness of which we can become a part of. And so when we are ready, really ready, to turn away from the things of this world and to turn our mind completely and fully upon God consciousness, then we're come into this time of the birth of the Christ. And that is the birth of the Christ within you. I would like to read here from Master, the Second Coming of Christ. This is Discourse number 3. Man is veritably a microcosm of the macrocosmic universe. His finite consciousness is potentially infinite. His finite consciousness is potentially infinite. While his physical sensory organs confine him to the world of matter, his soul is endowed with all powerful instruments of perception by which God himself may be known. Jesus said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." All manifestation is of the Holy Ghost vibration, imbued with the intelligence and power of the transcendental cosmic consciousness of God the Father, reflecting within vibratory creation as Christ consciousness. This Trinity of God is manifested microcosmically in man as the spiritual I. As the universe is created by power and intelligence of the Trinity, so man is upheld by the microcosmic triune power and consciousness in the spiritual eye. You see, you have the whole universe right within you. I had an experience once in which my center of consciousness was transferred into the spine, and the spine grew immense. The spine grew larger than the perception of this universe itself, and I saw the universe residing within the spine. In fact, there were many island universes. Through the Hubble telescope, we've been able to look out onto these stars, and more than stars, we've seen other galaxies, clusters of tremendous numbers of stars all come together as a galaxy. And within a small intake of this telescope, you can count over 10,000 galaxies, not stars, but galaxies, with hundreds of thousands of stars within each one of them, at least. This is a tremendous creation. It's vast, beyond anything the human mind can comprehend. But when you are lifted up into cosmic consciousness, your mind easily expands to encompass this vast universe and even beyond, because you are unifying yourself into God consciousness. Now, this is no easy feat to do. It is something that takes practice. It is something that you have to strive for. And when grace or the divine power lifts you up, you are able to have this kind of perception. And it is tremendous. And it's not just a perception like you look at something. It changes you. Because within that cosmic consciousness conveys not just an image, but the vitality, the power, the divine intelligence, the uplifting power of spirit that's embedded within cosmic consciousness. And so it changes you. It's why many people resist it, really, because they intuitively understand that they will be changed by the experience, that it is immensely powerful, that it is something that's beyond their own comprehension at the time. And so they're afraid of it. They stand back from it. They don't give themselves to it because they want to maintain control. They're afraid of what kind of change this will put them through. But really, if we knew the end product of that change, we wouldn't hesitate even a second. We would throw ourselves into the process of becoming this divine consciousness because it is more tremendous. It is more wonderful, it is more blissful than anything the human mind can imagine. But fear is what we live with, and it contains us. It keeps us small. It keeps us limited. It keeps us absent of this cosmic consciousness, and it's a great crime. Not against anyone else. We deprive ourselves. We deprive ourselves of everything that is possible within us. And what is possible is tremendous. That's what this birth of Christ is all about. During meditative concentration at the point between the eyebrows, the spiritual eye can be seen, a brilliant white star in the center encased within a sphere of sapphire blue light, encircled by radiant golden aura. In golden light is the epitome of the vibratory sphere of the Holy Ghost. The blue light is the omnipresent intelligence of the Christ consciousness. The star is the mystic door in the cosmic consciousness of God the Father. Jesus said, "If thine eye therefore be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Any devotee, by the practice of yoga meditation, knows how to focus his inward gaze at the point between the eyebrows, finds that the light traveling through the optic nerves into the two physical eyes becomes concentrated instead into the single visible spiritual eye. The two physical eyes perceive only limited portions at a time of the world of relativity. A vision of the spiritual eye is spherical and can see into omnipresence. Now this is the five-pointed star that the three wise men followed. And it's all a story of what happens within you. There was a wonderful time with Dr. Lewis. He is said to be one of the first or the first disciples of Master here in America. He lived in Boston. The first 5 years that Master came to America, he lived in Boston. And you can imagine with the cold winters there and perhaps the more formal kind of manners of the people who lived there, that it was a difficult time in many ways. But Master had faith that things would grow and that his message would be well received within America. Dr. Lewis came to Master, and it was on a Christmas Eve evening. And he had a question in his mind. He had read this, "Let thine eye be single, and thy whole body shall be filled with light." And he wondered about it. He didn't feel like he really understood it, so he came to ask the spiritual master about this. And when he did, Master had the lights turned down in the room they were in. He had him turn his gaze inwardly, and then Master touched him on the ajna. And when that happened, Dr. Lewis saw this small silver five-pointed star radiating in the blackness that otherwise his vision encompassed. And he saw the truth to that degree. He was able to perceive that star, and from that moment forward, every day he would look for that star and he would see it in that way. When he would go to his dental practice, he had to go up some stairs to get to his office. And he would sit down on the landing there, and before he would go up to his office and begin his business day, he would sit and he'd turn his eyes upward. And he'd wait until he saw that spiritual star there. Isn't that wonderful? He practiced Kriya every single day, up until the last day of his life. And when he was in the hospital bed, and had been having some illness, his wife was there with him. And she propped him up with some pillows so that he could sit upright in order to meditate. And he turned his gaze up to the third eye point. And there, as he did this, his wife sitting next to him saw the form of Sri Yukteswar. So vivid and so real, so lifelike, right there. And I think it was at that time that he left the body. What a wonderful Mahasamadhi. He and Mother were great friends. And so when you practice like this, when you practice consistently, when you put your mind to it, and you really resolve yourself to find God within yourself, He is able to be found right there. Returning to Master, by deep meditation, the devotee penetrates his consciousness and life force through the tri-colored lights of the spiritual eye into the macrocosmic manifestation of the Trinity. When the wise men saw a star intimating to them the birth of Christ, they were beholding through the wisdom star of infinite perception in their spiritual eye where the Christ consciousness was newly manifested in the body of infant Jesus. So now you have, Master, merging the two stories together, the inner and the outer. And because these wise men were able to see in this kind of way, through the spiritual star within their own consciousness, they were able to recognize the birth of an avatar. An avatar means spirit descended into flesh. And Jesus was indeed a great avatar, come without any karma, pure cosmic consciousness, manifesting in a human form. We think of the baby Jesus as helpless in his crib, dependent on his mother's milk and care, yet within that tiny form was the infinite Christ, the light of the universe in which we are all dancing as motion picture shadows. During one of our day-long Christmas meditations, when I prayed to see the baby Christ, the light of the spiritual eye in my forehead opened its rays, and I saw Jesus as an infant. He appeared in such beauty and power of God. All the forces of nature were playing in that baby face. In the light of those eyes, the universe trembled, waiting for the command of those eyes. Such was the infant the wise men beheld, a little child over whom angels stood watch, in whom the whole cosmic consciousness was manifest. And there's a footnote here. Among Westerners who concur that the wise men came from India is the great 20th century mystic stigmatist Teresa Neumann of Konnersreuth, Germany, who experienced weekly visions of Jesus' passion and crucifixion and the stations of the cross. Quoting, "The visit to Konnersreuth in September 1932 by His Excellency Bishop Alexander Chalapranbo of Kottayam, India, with the revered Father Thankanath, the rector of the Bishop's Seminary, afforded interesting evidence of Teresa's ability in the state of ecstasy and corporal blindness to recognize what must be unknown to her in a normal state. The companion of His Excellency wrote me as follows, "Neither Teresa nor the pastor knew of our coming." Now keep in mind, he's from India. Teresa had just witnessed the station in which Simon of Cyrene appears and now, in a period of rest, was talking of what she had seen and repeated in Syrian, that is Aramaic, the words Shalach Malka de Judah, "Hail, King of the Jews." We are, of course, astonished at hearing these words. The bishop who belongs to the Syro-Malabrian rite repeated them. But Teresa corrected his expression, saying, "Perhaps you speak the words as they are written, but I heard them this way." And she repeated them. Thereupon we recognized the mistake we had made. We had used a short A in the last syllable of the first word, whereas it ought to be a long A, as Teresa used it. After a few minutes, Father Naber motioned to His Excellency to come close to the bed. When the bishop touched Teresa's left hand, she held it fast. This high pastor from the land whence the kings came to worship the Christ child, she said. So in other words, saying that the three wise men had come from India. Spiritual signs appear on the body and the face of one who has realized soul. These signs are held secret, and only a few know how to read them. By these signs and by their sight divine, the wise men were able to know they had found the Christ they had sought, the babe who is one with the Lord of the universe. They knelt and offered their symbolic gifts. They were the traditional gifts given in India to the newborn. But they held further meaning coming from the wise men to Jesus. Gold, or material treasure, is offered to a giver of wisdom as a symbol of appreciation of the great value of the liberating truth bestowed by the spiritual teacher. Incense symbolizes devotion, the fragrance of the heart's love offered to the Master, who is channeled through whom God's guidance and blessings flow. The myrrh was in recognition of the bitter trial and sacrifice that would be required of Jesus in fulfilling his divine mission. On a transcendent level of consciousness, in which others could neither participate nor bear witness, there was a spiritual exchange of soul communion concerning the destiny of Jesus, which would be of universal benefit to man, as Jesus would be one of God's supreme messengers of truth. Now, as Master said, so within, so without, that man is the microcosm of this macrocosmic universe, and everything that is extolled here in the scriptures happens right inside of you. And so also, these three wise men represent the three gunas, the tamasic, which is represented by the myrrh, the rajasic, which is represented by the gold, the things that man runs after in this world, and the sattvic, or that of devotion and love for God, which is represented through the incense. And when we see this star shining within our own foreheads, and we see that light coming into us, we surrender ourselves. We surrender the bitterness. We surrender our sorrow. We surrender those things that we hold against our brother and our sister, our mother and our father. We surrender all of these things. You know, people hold on very fast to those things that they feel bitter about. They feel angry about things in this world. They resent their life, or they resent the things that they see happening in other people's lives. And they hold that very close to their bosom. They don't want to let it go. They want it as a reminder that they can't be fooled by this world, that they can't be taken along for a ride. And so they hold it close. And so it's odd to think, perhaps, that it's difficult to let go of the bitterness. But in truth it is. And there are some people who hold it so close that they will not let themselves grow. They will not let themselves leave that realm of bitterness. And really, they are attached to it very strongly, very strongly. And then there are those who rely upon gold, either because they have it or they want it. And without it, they so conceive that they can find no happiness, they can find no security. And yet this gold of the world is of limited value. And it comes and it goes. And there are so many, if we really analyze the lives of so many of those who have gained great wealth in this world, that they're not happy, that they're not secure. And that they live in fear that what they have can be taken away from them. And so where is the security at? And then there is devotion. Now, love and devotion in the sattvic is what we should cultivate. And yet, ultimately, we must let go of that too, because within that sattvic, there is a sense of separation. There is that which is God, and there is that which is not God. And if we are to truly enter into the cosmic, universal consciousness of Christ and of God, then we must transcend even that. And so we conceive then that we are a part of everything in the universe that is. And when we see that through Christ's consciousness, we feel bliss, we feel joy. Now our consciousness can go out and it can connect with people who are in pain. This oftentimes happens to me. That within my own consciousness, I feel a connection with individuals near and far. And they're going through difficult times. And sometimes people say, I don't know how you do it. How do you talk to people about their problems? How do you connect with them in this way? And the reason that allows me to be able to do this is because deep within me is a sense of joy, a sense of peace. When I see an individual, I just don't see them in their limited human nature. I don't see them only as the difficulties that they're encountering in the moment. But I see them as God. I see them as divine consciousness that is as if it is encased in a seed. And it is looking for expression. It is looking for the light. And it is a struggle because the seed holds the light, the inner light, fast. And yet the inner light is striving to be expressed. And so there is great tension. But it is through that exact tension that the birth of that Christ seed will occur. And the outer seed of material consciousness will crumble and fall away. But it doesn't happen in a moment. It doesn't happen overnight. And so it's nurturing that seed. It's nurturing that light. It's encouraging the shell to give way and to allow the light to shine forward. Now, some people, they throw in the towel. They think, well, this isn't for me, or maybe there's some easier way to do it over there. And so they wander off. But they don't make the progress. It's something that I know. It's when somebody leaves their own spiritual path, the one that's sent to them by God to help them to go from the individual to the universal, that they don't make the same kind of progress. Now, sometimes people will say, well, I've been following this path so long, it doesn't feel like I've made any progress at all. And most often that's the case because real, sincere effort has not been applied. We hold back. We don't put ourselves completely into it. And it's only when we give ourselves heart, mind, body, strength, and soul toward achieving that divine consciousness that we really make the progress, that the experiences start coming to us, that the transformation occurs. But very definitely, those who leave the particular path and they go off seeking something easier, something that they think will get them there in a more expeditious kind of a way, and usually an easier kind of way, they don't make the progress. So in either case, whether we leave the path, then we should return. And if we are on the path and not making any progress, then we need to really examine ourselves. We really need to put ourselves under the microscope and see what we're doing about ourselves. Are we really keeping our mind on God constantly? Are we singing to God? Are we loving God? Are we serving God? Are we reading about the lives about the saints? Are we feeling inspired in our life, or are we just kind of coasting along? Every one of us are responsible individually to God within ourselves. And we know whether we're doing the right thing. We know whether we're making progress or not. We have a feeling for it. We have a sense of it. And true enough, there are people who can lie to themselves and do it for a while. But you can't do it for long and feel satisfied with yourself. So during this wonderful time of season, during this birth of Christ time, let us really analyze ourselves. Let us really put ourselves to the test. And as we look out upon a new year coming, as we move toward the light, both metaphysically and physically, let us strive with new determination to come into that divine consciousness, not satisfied with just a little. I would like to read from the introduction from Master in this second coming of Christ. The promise of Jesus to send the Holy Ghost after he was gone, few in the Christian world understood. Holy Ghost is the sacred, invisible power of God that actively sustains the universe. The Word, or Om, cosmic vibration, the great comforter, the Savior from all sorrows. Within the Holy Ghost cosmic vibration is the all-pervading Christ, the Son or consciousness of God, immanent in creation. The method of contacting this cosmic vibration, the Holy Ghost, is for the first time being spread worldwide by means of a definite meditation techniques of the Kriya Yoga science. Through the blessings of communion with the Holy Ghost, the cup of human consciousness is expanded to receive the ocean of Christ consciousness. The adept in the practice of the science of Kriya Yoga, who consciously experiences the presence of the Holy Ghost Comforter and merges in the Son or the immanent Christ consciousness, attains thereby realization of God the Father and entry into the infinite kingdom of God. Christ will thus appear a second time in the consciousness of every devout adept who masters the technique of contacting the Holy Ghost, the bestower of indescribable bliss, comfort, and spirit. Those who have spiritual ears to hear, let them hear the promise of Jesus Christ to send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is being fulfilled. These teachings have been sent to explain the truth as Jesus intended them to be known to the world, not to give a new Christianity, but to give the real Christ teaching, how to become like Christ, how to resurrect the eternal Christ within. My singular desire to discern rightly the true meaning of Christ's words was given wondrous confirmation one night during a period when I was working on these interpretations. It was in the Hermitage of Encinitas, California. I was sitting in my darkened room in meditation, praying deeply from my soul, when suddenly the blackness gave way to a celestial opal blue effulgence. The entire room was like an opal flame. In that flame, the radiant form of the Blessed Lord Jesus appeared. His face was divine. His appearance was of a young man in his 20s, with sparse beard and mustache. His long black hair, parted in the middle, had a golden halo about it. His feet were not touching the floor. His eyes were the most beautiful, the most loving eyes I have ever seen. The whole universe I saw glistening in those eyes. They were infinitely changing, and with each transition of expression, I intuitively understood the wisdom conveyed. In his glorious eyes, I felt the power that upholds and commands the myriad worlds. As he gazed down at me, a holy grail appeared at his mouth. It descended to my lips and touched them, and went up again to Jesus. After a few moments of rapt, silent communion, he said to me, "Thou dost drink of the same cup of which I drink." At that, I bowed down. I was joyous beyond dreams to receive the testimony of his blessings, of his presence. Exactly the words that he said to me in his vision, he also said to Thomas, which I had never read before. His words meant that I was drinking of his wisdom through the holy grail of his perceptions, which he dropped in my consciousness, and he was pleased. He approved very dearly and blessed me for writing these interpretations. This I can say without pride, because the interpretation of Christ's words herein are not mine. It has been given to me. I am happy this book is coming through me, but I am not the author. It is Christ. I am only the vehicle through which it is explained. And the fact that Jesus can manifest himself in vision and in body now and has been able to do throughout all time has been testified by many saints from many different parts of the world. And Master himself was a Christ. He lived in that Christ consciousness as our dear Guru Mother did as well. And this is a tremendous, tremendous thing. It is a gift to this world, and it is a gift that truly keeps on giving. Down through all eternity, Jesus said, "The world may pass away, but my word shall not." The power of his expression of God is for all time, and the vibration that it carries is imbued with cosmic consciousness and therefore transcends all material consciousness. I too have been blessed by some visitations from this great, great spiritual soul, the Christ. And he came to me once when I sat up on a hilltop and I was in an extremity of spiritual pain. My heart, the Gordian knot within my heart, was about to break. And he appeared to me in vision. And he said, "Do you not know that I am the groom and you are the bride? Now the soul is the bride, and the Christ consciousness is the groom. And they come together." And it was wonderful, so touching, and so profound to hear these words of assurance. And it was the next night that I returned to that same place as I had been going up each night to meditate there. And I found there that this tremendous Gordian knot opened the next night, and the heart opened, and the divine love that flowed through was so powerful, so tremendous, it flowed out into all creation, and I felt that I was swimming in an ocean of prem, an ocean of divine love. And so this individual, this avatar that came to the earth, is active in this world, is active to devotees who have true aspiration. And it is also representative of the universal consciousness without form, without personality. You might ask yourself, what did Jesus look like before he incarnated as a human being? Did he have form? Would you say that he had a long beard and hair and wore sandals and a robe? You see, this consciousness has been with creation from the very beginning. The very beginning. And it is deep within you right now. Even as I speak to you about him, I feel a deep pain within my own heart, and it is pain of compassion for this world that lives in ignorance and lives in suffering. There are many, many people who are focused on wanting to bring peace to this world, and well should it be so. But real peace, God's peace, will only come from accessing that divine intelligence and power and consciousness right within you. So let us remember to dive deep and then to soar high, as Swami Satchidananda exhorted us to do. Dive deep into meditation. Dive deep into that consciousness that resides right within your heart and soul, and then soar high into the divine realms of light, of lightness, of love, of everything good and pure, for that is of God. I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a Christmas filled with bliss and God's joy and God's presence. And may the Christ manifest within your heart and soul and ever guide you toward your infinite home. You are deeply in my heart and in my soul. And whether we are near or far, we are always one in God. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence, my mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Peace, bliss, amen.